Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. It's Friday the 5th of April and this is our Friday 5 news roundup with me, Rich Ferraro. In just a few minutes, we'll have a bit of a discussion with the Maradona of the Midlands about the top stories coming out of the City Ground this week. So let's head straight over to the 1865 news desk and let's hear from Jamie.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top five Forest stories from the 1865 news desk. Now, the positive headline to this week's news, Forest beat Fulham in a huge redemption win. It's rare that a result is the headline of the week's news, but this week is different. After a superb start, Forest continued to show quality as they redeemed themselves in a 3-1 thrashing of Marco Silva's Fulham. The game started convincingly and despite Fulham's wide attacking mentality, Forest pressed on and within 8 minutes found themselves leading. Morgan Gibbs-White's superb pass finds Hudson-Odoi, who moves into the box, steps back and fires it past Bernd Leno. That wasn't it though, as Chris Wood sees an opportunity. Leno off his line and obstructed vision due to defenders present, so he opts to fire it into the back of the net, an audacious effort that paid off. Then Gibbs-White took on a through ball from Danilo just before half-time inside the penalty area and netted Forest third. Dreamland for Nottingham Forest, and we're not even in the second half yet. Fulham would score though thanks to Tosin Adarabayo early into the second half, but it wouldn't be enough to cancel out all three Forest goals. A superb way to end a tough run and head into a big fixture against Spurs. Now the second piece of news this week, Chris Wood has continued his red hot form. After a poor start to his Forest career, it's fair to say that Chris Wood has turned his fortunes around. Now his 11th goal of the campaign, he's been Forest's saviour. After arriving from Newcastle United on loan the Christmas before last with a fee of £4 million, Chris Wood signed for Forest permanently for £15 million. Despite this, the initial outrage at the finances involved in the deal, Wood has been crucial for Forest, arguably being the main reason for the Reds having any hope of survival. His goals have always been important ones, and in a relegation battle, a good striker is a major advantage. With 8 goals in his last 9 games, he's one of the most informed strikers in the league. Statistics from Footy Stats, a football stats website, revealed that Chris Wood had a shot conversion rate of 43.48% this season. Haaland, for comparison, had a conversion rate of 23.68% so far this season. Wood is clinical and could keep Forest in the Premier League with his goals. Now, the third piece of news this week, and it does come quite recently, just yesterday, John Percy, the Telegraph journalist, revealed that Ola Aina would be given a brand new contract. Now, I say a brand new contract. His current deal allows for a 1-year extension clause. Forest are going to trigger that and will do so accordingly after good performances from Ola Aina, both before AFCON and after AFCON. Alongside this, Chris Wood also has an extra year in his deal, so he'll be staying on until the 24-25 season. So two positive contract updates there for both Nottingham Forest players, Ola Aina and Chris Wood. Now some transfer news this week. New reports reveal that Nottingham Forest approached a Brazilian defender. It's no secret that Forest enjoy the presence of Brazilian footballers in their team, and now, according to Fabrizio Romano, a top transfer guru, it has been revealed that the Reds approached an experienced defender from Brazil just last year alongside another Premier League team. Fabrizio Bruno, Flamengo's star defender, is looking for a move east of Brazil in search of a new challenge. Clubs in the Premier League, Forest and Wolves, alongside Saudi League clubs, have all registered interest, with a move this summer expected. Reports say Forest made a move for the defender before signing Murillo, but Bruno was more of an expensive option, and at 28, his longevity was not that of Murillo. A good footballing and business decision in the long term from Nottingham Forest. It's unclear whether Forest will re-emerge in the race to sign Fabrizio Bruno, but with Omar Bamadeli on the rise and Moussa Niakate amongst the ranks as options, it's unlikely Forest would entertain a move just yet. It's also been reported by John Percy that Forest could look to extend Willy Bolly's contract, meaning that they'd have another defender as an option. And finally, head coach Nuno has piled on the praise for Morgan Gibbs-White. Forest head coach Nuno Espirito Santo has farther piled on praise for Forest star Morgan Gibbs-White after a stellar display to defeat Fulham in a game which saw him get two goal contributions. After assisting Callum Hudson-Odoi's opener and himself scoring the winner, Gibbs-White saw praise from head coach Nuno, who said, "He's very talented, no doubt about that. He's reaching the levels of a football player that is almost complete. He reads the game well, he has talent, and he can score." The Portuguese coach also praised his colleagues, stating that many players did well to allow Gibbs-White to attack, get forward, and play so freely. A very happy Nuno Espirito Santo, who's known Morgan Gibbs-White from his time at Wolves and is now seen him progress, mature, and achieve great things in football. The only way is up, and Fulham was a fantastic performance for Gibbs-White. But that is the latest from the 1865 News Desk. I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on my socials throughout the week via at I'm Jamie Martin on Twitter, or as it's now known, X. But that's all for now. Goodbye, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you very much there, Jamie. And let's go straight into that first story. So hello, the marriage on the Midlands. It was, now obviously, we've heard from Stephen and George with the match report from the Fulham game. But I quite like the way that Jamie described it as a redemption win. And what I think, as much as the match itself, I think it's interesting to know that although we only got 4 points from the last two matches, when maybe we might have wanted six, we'd have wanted the full complement against Palace. But something that Baz said on Saturday in our match report and also put in our group chat, which is that little bit of, I don't know, how can I put it? That little bit of extra resilience, extra little bit of fight at both ends of the pitch is something that hopefully bodes well for the rest of the season. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, it's been something, the resilience is something that has been sadly lacking this season, I'd say. It did make me chuckle a little bit when Morgan Gibbs-White in his post-match interview said it just showed the resilience of this group of players, because it's not been evident at all, really, for the majority of the season.
In fact, to quote you from a few weeks ago, this is the least resilient bunch of players I've seen in ages.
Yeah. I mean, they're about as resilient as I am, which anybody who knows me is not very resilient at all.
It's true, listener.
It's true. It's very true. So it does bode well. They finally, something seems to have clicked. But, you know, it can't just be for that one match now. They've got to go and show it again against Tottenham and for the rest of the season. I'm maybe not as enthused as everybody else seems to be and sort of saying, oh, we're a brilliant player, Morgan Gibbs-White's a brilliant player and what a great team we are. It's all turned around, because the evidence of my eyes for the past 6 months is that we've been distinctly average at best. So enjoy the win. But you've just got to do it again now. That's gone. You've got to go into Tottenham and just start all over again and show that same resilience once again.
And we'll come on to the Tottenham game in a little while. But what I would say, firstly, I mean, we've been working with Jamie for a little while now. I've never heard him sound as excited as he did when he was describing the victory against Fulham. Would you say that's Forrest's best 45 minutes since they returned to the Premier League?
I would say so. It was fantastic stuff. It was like stuff that dreams are made of. Brilliant piece of skill, great control. We're finding our own men for a change, which made a change. Just brilliant that some of the stuff Morgan Gibbs-White was doing, the first time passes from the outside with right foot to put Callum Hudson-Odoi through. It was all pretty brilliant stuff. It was just the stuff that you just, well, fantasy football really, 45 minutes. And the third goal really, really capped it off. I mean, really sort of a complete first half performance.
I saw it described somewhere as 45 minutes of heaven followed by 45 minutes of hell, though. Does that equate to your experience?
It does. I think the second half was a contrast in, because we couldn't keep possession of the ball. We were passing it straight to them again. The energy sort of dropped a little bit, and it was all Fulham. But that resilience did show through then, and the diving in with challenges and Ryan Yates, Danilo, Morgan Gibbs-White were all fantastic on the night. Putting the proverbial 110%, all three of them did, and it was brilliant to see. So yeah, I think I said to somebody this week that we're probably the only team that can go into halftime with a 3-0 lead and still be nervous about the outcome. that's the same old failings on set pieces. It's just amateurish at times. I just don't understand what they're doing. It's just so easy. I think it's down to zonal marking. There's just players just standing there in static positions, and the opposition just seems to take advantage of it by sticking their big men in the area of one of our short players. So, it's something that they need to sort out. But I don't know, if they haven't done it, managed it until now, I don't think they're going to change it.
Under two head coaches, they still got the same problems. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just with regards to the game, I mean, was it down to Forest or was it down to Fulham also being bad, or was it more of one or the other? I mean, my gut instinct was that I was really pleased to see Forest playing with their full strength front four, and I think that made a big difference. But then also, the conclusion that the bloke next to me came up with during the Palace matches: we can't play Yates and Sangare in the same midfield. There's not enough dynamism if we do that. So playing Yates with Danilo or Yates with Dominguez or Sangare with one of those two seems to make more sense, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think anybody had a clear idea of where he was going to play Sangare when he joined us, what the plan was for him, because anybody who'd seen him play, he's just produced a sort of performances that he was producing at PSV. He was lackadaisical, sort of relaxed on the ball, got in a few challenges, scored a few goals. And they just could not have watched him play and thought, this is a really good fit for our midfield, because it just doesn't fit into a team that's not going to have possession for a large parts of the game. And so I think it was an illogical signing in some respects. It's Costa's Mangala, I would say, who's probably more of a more suited to the way we play and more suited to the league. We're probably going to have to lose him now because of the money we spent on him. I just don't think he's suited to the Premier League. He's just too slow, too lackadaisical, too casual.
Is he, and you might need to ask your parents on this one, kids, is he Forest's modern-day equivalent of Juan Sebastian Varon signing for Man United?
Yeah, maybe.
Signed on the base of reputation, but without thinking about what he could actually bring to the team.
Yeah, I mean, when he joined Manchester United, yeah, he didn't fit into that style of the fast counter-attacking style of play. And you could say the same for Sangare with us. He's got flaws in his game, which I can't see how we're going to overcome them, really. So yeah, I would always put Yates in, and you need somebody next to him. And I've always been impressed with Danilo ever since he came in. I'm always a little bit surprised. Now, that was another thing that surprised me when we brought in Sangare. We had Danilo there, we had Mangala there, we had Yates there, we had Kouyaté there. One of these players is going to have to miss out, or two of the players are going to have to miss out, and it's just. Yeah, just points to our lack of strategy and coordination between the team, the coaches and the recruitment team.
Let's move on to talk about a couple of the players who played in the matches recently. I'm just going to jump forward ahead to this third story, actually, because Ola Aina, he's shown in the last two matches exactly how much we've missed him. He's also shown that he's a player who not only has good ability, but good experience and brings something to the team, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, he had a fantastic start at Forest in his Forest career. And then that aberration of a performance down at Fulham where he was literally just terrible. Really, really bad. And I think that was just before, just leading up to the build-up to AFCON. I think maybe that played on his mind a little bit. I got the feeling that there's him and maybe one or two other players didn't want to get injured in the lead-up to the tournament. And just their performances just dropped off a little bit. You saw it a little bit last season with the World Cup and players from different nations, just not maybe putting it in 100%. But yeah, he was back to his brilliant best against Fulham. And yeah, he's got everything you need. He's athletic. He's good on the ball. He knows where to go defensively. He's aggressive. So yeah, I hope he does stay longer.
And I've still not worked out if he's right or left footed. I think he's right footed.
Yeah.
I like it when you get players and you can't work out which is their dominant foot. I'd include Anthony Elanga in that as well, by the way. And so I think we'd welcome the idea of Aina getting that 1 year contract extension. When you consider it's a free transfer, I'd assume that having played in Italy and having played for some big clubs in the Premier League, that he's probably on the higher end of wage earners. But I think that's an investment worth making. Speaking of investments, well, it turns out that Chris Wood has a conversion rate, the goal conversion rate, which is twice as efficient as Erling Haaland, according to the stats that Jamie brought us there. Do you welcome the idea of him staying for another year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, considering how much we spent on him, it would seem a shame to let him just walk out the door on a free transfer after 18 months. And his performance is really this season sort of justify him staying. I don't know if it's a coincidence that his contract is running out just as he signed to play well again. I think that's something we've seen at Forest down the years of lots of loan players. And
oh, you cynic.
But you've got to hand it to him. He's brilliant, brilliant finisher this season. He looks like a completely different player to the bloke who turned up last season and was just sort of standing around, not contributing anything. So, yeah.
No, I was just going to say that, there's a few schools of thought. Number one, I don't think he was very fit last season. I think you could tell he hadn't played much football. And even a small drop-off in terms of percentage fitness can make a huge difference to performance levels. The other thing is that I think he was a signing that, like we said earlier about, about Sangare, he was a signing that maybe was made on the basis of reputation without thinking about how to fit him in. And Steve Cooper never... Even when he was scoring goals under Cooper never quite got to grips with that. Whereas by playing with this 4-2-3-1 and having out-and-out wingers there, it means that he's having a much nicer time in Nuno's style of play, yeah?
Yeah, that is correct. To be fair to him, he didn't really get much service when he wasn't playing well. We didn't create many chances last season, and we still don't create that many chances. So even against Fulham, that wasn't really a chance that he scored from. He just picked up the ball in midfield and scored. I can't think of him having many other shots during the match or headers or anything that you'd sort of expect a striker to have in your head, sort of balls flying in across the 6-yard box and diving in and trying to get on the end of it. Didn't see any of that really. So yeah, the wingers do help. Last season we didn't really have a natural winger playing. It was Brennan Johnson playing, and then he very rarely sort of get those sort of crossing positions, and then on the other side
we ended up reverting to Morgan on the left, didn't we? And then, you know, just to try and get the best players in the team, because we're playing that 4-3-3 for most of the time. Or then we reverted to the 3-4-3. So, yeah, Morgan was playing on the left. And, you know, I can see why that was an option, but it didn't really get the best out of Morgan Gibbs-White. And, of course, we've seen that you know, on numerous occasions since Nuno's come in, Gibbs White playing in that number 10 role or in a position where he's going to get more of the ball. So even when he drops a little bit deeper and is filled in as number 8, then that is a very strong move and designed to get the best out of the player.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Forest fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Green King Sport app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks anytime there's a match on the TV, but this month there's also free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of 6 holidays. And you'll be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Welcome back to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. It's the Friday Five news roundup on Friday, the 5th of April, with me, Rich Ferraro, and the Maradona of the Midlands. Now, Maradona, a couple of stories yet to bring you. Number one is, well, a bit of speculation about a player who didn't sign for Forest, but might sign for Forest, but probably won't sign for Forest. So this player, Fabrizio Bruno, one of the things that Jamie brought us in that news roundup was obviously talking about, well, we had options as at centre-half, but I think we'll have fewer options. We know that Felipe's going. Let's be honest, there's every chance Murillo won't be at the City Ground next season. So that leaves Omar Bamadeli, Niakate. And my notes here say, according to John Percy, we're looking to extend Willy. Bolly may or may not be at the City Ground next season. So it's possible we'll be in the market for a centre-half.
Yeah, but I know I'd be reluctant to sign a 28-year-old Brazilian. I've listened to Tim Vickery down the years always sort of say that it's very rare that a European club picks up a Brazilian player over the age of about 22, 23 years of age, because by then, all the best players have already been harvested from Brazil, but either in the late teens or by their early 20s at latest. That's why he was quite surprised when we went and got Scarpa last season. He said, if anybody was going to get him and he was suited to European football, I would expect him to be in about 5 years ago at the latest. So a player who's still playing in Brazil at the age of 28, I don't think would be good enough to make the transition to the Premier League.
But Willy Bolly, would you give him another year or two?
His on-field performances, yes, but his fitness is terrible. I mean, remember last season as well, he was out for a long, long time as well in January. And this season, again, he just can't seem to get fit, can he? But you have to think that he's going to another year older. Is it worth the risk? I don't know. I really don't know. I'd be maybe looking for younger options. Every time. Oda. Oh, yeah, you say it, go on.
Omar Bamadeli. Andy.
And Amarillo. Have the makings of a good partnership. I think if we're in the Premier League, I don't think we'll struggle that much to keep Murillo. I think we'd have a decent chance of...
If we get offered 50 million or 60 million, then yeah, we'd be stupid to keep him, surely.
I don't think we will get offered 50 or 60 million, to be honest with you. So I'm confident in that sense. And then we've still got Joe Worrall knocking around. McKenna's still under contract, I think.
McKenna's out of contract in the summer, so I think we can assume that he's more or less gone. Yeah, but yeah, we've so is he we who knows? It wouldn't be a summer at Forest without there being a good degree of churn, would it?
So yeah, I mean, I'd be looking at maybe a younger player to come in to those positions, and if he can. But I mean, that's you don't know what the rules are going to be now, if we're going to be allowed to spend or not.
Yeah, we've already talked about Morgan Gibbs-White. Obviously, Jamie covered that as his last story with Nuno praising the Stafford-born player. Let's move on to something, because you did touch upon transfers and spending and losses. And after Jamie recorded his bulletin, we have seen a story emerge in the Daily Mail. So the Premier League are eyeing the abolition of points deductions and introducing an NBA-style luxury tax if teams overspend. But this is happening after Forest and Everton have lost points. So naturally, the conspiracy theorists, perhaps with some justification, are saying, well, that's convenient. So after Forest and Everton gets points deductions, but before Chelsea and Man City and a few others are in danger of doing that. And apparently the fears are that if you put these spending restrictions, particularly when with regard to wages, that it will stifle clubs from being able to sign top talent. But yeah, it all feels a bit convenient for Man City, doesn't it?
I'm not so exercised about the Man City situation as a lot of people seem to be. It is a very different situation because they completely deny they've breached the rules. And the method which the allegations have come about is from an illegal hack on their computer systems, allegedly, as part of the soccer leaks. Dump of data. So they seem very confident that they'll be able to defend it. So I don't really regard that as a problem that they'll ever be found guilty of anything. And Chelsea as well, I don't know, I think it's historical and more related to European rules at the time, I think. I just think the rules are there. We've broken them, so we can't be too angry about it. Does it need changing? Yes. And this sort of luxury tax, which you're talking about, I think could work. It'll allow clubs to spend. And if the money goes into a central pot, which is maybe distributed between...
Well, we know that's not going to happen because we know that Premier League clubs aren't turkeys voting for Christmas.
Yeah, but
the Forest, under threat of relegation, were one of the clubs who said, no, we don't want redistribution.
But yeah, but if it allows them to spend money, so if Newcastle, they get to spend their billions, Man City get to spend their billions, Forest get to spend their millions if they want to, well, there might just be enough consensus there to say, yeah, okay, we'll do that. And then, depends how much of a tax it is. If it's like 10%, there's no sort of discouragement there to spend at all. If it's like 100%, so every £1 million you spend, you put £1 million in the pot as well. Maybe it will control things. I think if they come through and they can share that money out between the Football League and the other Premier League clubs, I don't see that would be such a bad idea.
I mean, obviously UEFA are proposing this rule of limiting spending linked to club revenue, but that is going to cement the inequalities into things. And here it says a system of anchoring has also been discussed, a form of salary cap where the amount that any club can spend is directly related to the wage bill spent by the bottom club. So Sheffield United, for example, finished bottom with an annual wage bill of 50 million. Every club would have a set multiple of that figure to spend for the following season. If they break that cap, they pay the fine. What do you think? It's never going to work, that, is it?
No, it's complicated. I mean, there's a part of me just thinks just go whole hog the American system and just have a salary cap and every single club's on the same budget. And do away with the merit payments that they get now, because it just keeps on skewing the inequality, because the teams higher up in the table get more prize money from Premier League money. They get into Europe, so they get more TV money and prize money that way. So just why not just make every club have an equal budget and from a centralised pot? And then everybody's got a fair go at winning it then. But I don't, that won't happen, obviously, because the people at the top, like, they like money for some reason, you know.
Well, yeah, quite. Let's just move on very briefly to talk about the weekend's game against Tottenham. Obviously, it's been moved to this weird kickoff time with the rail strikes being cited as a reason, and the Premier League have apologised. And what do you think about Forest's prospects playing against Tottenham?
On paper, it looks like a very difficult challenge because they're so good going forwards, and that all-out attacking method that they employ is really going to stretch our defence.
Although one of their most effective weapons in terms of goals and assists has been a certain Brennan Johnson, and he limped off the other night, didn't he?
He did. I think I saw on the internet today though that he says he's going to be okay. So
yeah. Yeah, just our luck, yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to be really, really tough. So we're going to have to show all that resilience, all that hard work, all that energy to get anything out of that game. It's got to be the Tuesday night game against Fulham was the best performance of the season, we've got to top that once again. Make Sunday night's performance against Tottenham the best performance of the season to get anything out of it, I think.
Anyway, let's leave it there. So thank you very much to the Marathon of the Midlands. Thank you to Jamie at the 1865 News Desk. And thank you once again, listener, for joining us. As ever, if you like what you hear, then please share our content, leave us a review. All the links to our social media, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Twitter, all of those things is all available at 1865.football. And we'll be with you on Monday with a report of the weekend's game against Tottenham. Catch you then. Come on, you Reds.
Every time.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.